This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You, a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. I'm Jessica Pfeiffer, and as always, I'm joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus. Hey, Dr. Ken.
Hi, Jessica.
I am looking forward to our conversation today because it is about topics that you address in your new book, Feeding the Mouth That Bites You. It's the second version of the book, but it is changed, really. And you've added a lot of information and you've updated and that sort of thing. So I'm excited about getting the paper copy in my hands. I will give you a little plug too. The book, Feeding the Mouth That Bites You, is coming out on November 5th of 2024. So if you get a chance to go and pre-order that, you can do that on Amazon or with other booksellers. And I know you guys, the listeners, are probably just as excited as I am to see what Dr. Ken has added, because a lot of life has changed since 2015 when the first...
It has. And as a bonus to celebrate the release of the second edition, we've also scheduled a federal election that day just to get people out. So we're trying to put those things together.
Then you can remember. It'll be easy to remember. You go out and vote, you go get your book. So, thank you, Dr. Ken, for writing this book. I'm excited about it. And one of the things that I remember that you said when we gave our book announcement a few episodes ago was you talked a little bit about the reason why you wrote this book was to help parents to be less hard on themselves, is kind of what I took away from it. But what was it that you were writing the book for?
Yeah, it really was. The goal was, initially to kind of point out a cultural problem that it's not just you as a parent that are having this struggle. We actually had normalized this, what we call, teenage rebellion. And there's nothing normal about it. It doesn't exist in every culture. It certainly hasn't existed across time. So, I always thought part of the message would be, hey, it's not all about you as a parent. Well, what's weird is that over the years since the book has been released, I've found the parenting burden has just exploded. I think with more and more information, the parents that I see just feel so burdened that, I should have known this inside track of information because something's not going right with my teenager and that's got to be my fault. And so it became even harder to comfort parents as I, that was part of my goal.
Well, I feel that as a parent always. I mean, part of it's probably personality where I overanalyze everything and I worry about not being perfect. But I think a lot of parents feel that way, that they want to do it right. This is the biggest job they've ever been given. They feel a lot of love and devotion to their kid. They want to do right by their kid. And yet sometimes our kids make choices that make us feel as if we failed, and we take that so personally when our kid isn't doing as well as we'd hoped. So I appreciate that, Dr. Ken, because I want to do the right thing, but I don't want to put my expectations on my kids to where it's a heavy burden for them and for me.
Well, the funny part is it's pretty common. It'll be common for me to be talking to some parents that are very concerned that their teenager doesn't share everything with them and doesn't seem to want to be around them that much. And I'll very often ask, well, were you close to your parents as a teenager? Did you tell them everything? And without even thinking about it, most all of them say, well, no, I didn't talk to my parents like that. Well, where did you get the burden? You know, in other words, where did you get the decision or the idea that, but I think I can in one generation change this to where my kid is successful, outgoing, lots of friends, and yet I'm their best friend. And, you know, and it's all because of how great I am as a parent. And I worry that that's what this parenting literature has done and put that burden on you. And to be blunt about it, because I talk about this as the second chapter of the book is the burden of parenting, is that that kind of burden, that idea that there must be inside track, I have to read enough to get a master's degree and all this stuff, is actually, if you want to be clear about it, the burden mostly of middle-class white mothers. Mm-hmm. Like there's a great article in the New York Times by this black mom who laments the pressure on these poor white women that have the time and, or at least feel they have the time and the wherewithal to observe every interaction they have with their child and expect to somehow, you know, groom this whole situation so it's so great and I have this superior kid. And she talks about that's not really the goal of her friends. And, you know, they're raising their children. And, mm-hmm. and I found that very refreshing that, you know, it's not just a misunderstanding that someone is out there pretending they have a book or series of information that is guaranteed successful children. There is no book like that, but also that it's almost a result of, wow, you've got the time and the wherewithal to actually sit and, you know, try to make every interaction count. Well, lucky you, that must be nice.
Mm-hmm. It's true. You have to have time and privilege to be able to handle all that information and analyze all of your kids' interactions. Because if you're busy, you had, you know, in previous generations had 15 children, you wouldn't be worrying about the
That's
one. You'd
exactly
like keep up, kid.
Right.
You know,
that's right. You know, a long time ago in the Middle Ages, they it's a belief that they often didn't name their child till they reached about five. Because what's the point? They may not make it. How sad is that?
Oh, that is so sad. That is so sad. Well, I have to say, as a parent, we've been trained from birth on. I remember getting that first book when I found out I was pregnant, the What to Expect When You're Expecting.
What to Expect When You're Expecting.
And I thought, I got it. You know, this is a checklist of how to do it right. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to eat these foods. I'm going to make sure that I'm checking for these symptoms. You know, that sort of thing where I just felt like, okay, here I go. This is me checking these boxes. But as a parent, I've let go of some of that, particularly as my kids got older and made choices that I was disappointed in and that hurt me. And I saw them making decisions that I thought I would never have wanted that for them. I didn't teach them that.
I taught them better than that.
That's when I recognized that not everything is, this is not going to be a math equation. I'm not going to input this and get this result just because they have their own journey and they have their own path ahead of them.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. like I say more and more, that getting older is just half of wisdom is just getting tired. You just recognize, you know what? This isn't all my fault. This isn't all about me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I there's another part of the equation. We've talked about kind of the invention of teenagers, but there's also this side of parenting that's interesting. And I see it even maybe with my parents' generation a little bit, but definitely with mine, whereas this kind of defiance of age, I am not old. I am not going to be old. And so parents are looking a lot like, acting a lot like, dressing a lot like their teenagers.
Yes.
And suddenly it's like, well, what age are you? I don't know. It's not good to be an adult. It's not good to be a grown up because it's looked down upon. Adulting, you know, you hear the phrase adulting.
That's
all
right.
the time.
Which is
like
weird.
It's a burden.
Right.
It is a little weird. We should be, and I think in a lot of cultures, adults or elders are known for their wisdom. They're admired for their wisdom and for the things that they offer that are different than what you would have from a teenager or a child.
That is a thing of the past, you know, and remember, we didn't invent the term teenager till about 1942. So if you want to look back at old annuals from high schools in the 1930s and 40s, especially look at the faculty page. They just look weird. Those are what used to be known as grown-ups. And these children, the teenagers, are aspiring to be that. And so they actually are less physically developed than kids today, but they're actually trying to dress more like adults. Today, we have almost the reverse. You've got parents that are talking to their child like the teenager, like, you constantly need my reminding. What you go through is my problem. While the mom says, by the way, can I borrow that cute top that you just got? Because I like it. You know, we want to kind of do both. And it's a kind of awkward mix of, you know, again, this never ending parenting. And yet, you know, I'm not saying I'm getting older. You certainly don't want to strive to be where I am. I want us to just all float along in this ageless middle level of kind of constant adolescence.
I kind of feel that because because I don't like getting older, but
yes,
but I do know that if we are constantly talking negatively about being an adult or adulting, or that somehow the responsibilities that we have as adults are incredibly burdensome, then why would our teenagers ever want to grow up anyway?
And they don't. And not only do they not really want to grow up, but you've probably seen some of the recent data. Young teenagers and young adults don't want to have children, which is a major part of being an adult. Dogs are trending up. Children are trending down. It's like, but look at the suffering I've gone through as your parent and how burdened I am by, why wouldn't you want to join in on this? Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. I want to stay in my basement and let you cart me around everywhere.
Okay. So note to parents, we need to make adulting look like a little
yes.
more fun.
Yes. Well, I try to tell teenagers, I'm like, you know, listen, when you don't go to school in the morning, somebody's going to call. If I don't go to work, nobody's calling. It's up to me. I choose. You know, and it's great out here. You should join me. And they look at me like, yeah, whatever. So
I know
you're right. We should be announcing that.
We should make it look like fun. So why do we put so much pressure on ourselves as parents? What do you think the motivation is in our parent hearts that is pushing us toward this perfection with our kids?
Well, I'll be blunt. So I think the first one is the sort of more obvious one, that there has been more and more this proliferation of books and videos and so forth. I'm always surprised if I look on social media, which I'm not on, but I look, and there's just thousands of people out there that are, quote, parenting experts. Everyone seems to know. They don't necessarily have a degree, but they've got a cool website and whatever. And so there's just this avalanche of information that, as I've said, I think implies that if you know all this stuff, you have a kind of a guarantee that you'll have kids that are successful and happy and so forth. That's the obvious one. To be blunt, though, I think underneath that is also we as a culture are increasingly about ourselves, not so much contributing. I mentioned before when I was in school, the kind of general idea of what my parents were aiming for would probably be called citizenship. This was during the Cold War. We were in the greatest nation, and I used to get a grade for citizenship on my report card. I didn't get a very good grade, by the way. Not the point. The point is the focus has shifted very much to personal happiness and fulfillment. And so when raising your children and as part of your obligation to your community switches to parenting and whether I have done all that I can do to have a successful child reflects on my parenting. I think that's a big part of it. We've become a lot more focused on ourselves, to be honest. And I think one of the other things that this comes up a lot with Christian parents is that there are parents that are doing pretty, their kids are doing pretty well. They're well-behaved. They do okay in school, but the kid really doesn't like their parents. Or even worse, they're cool toward them, but they don't share all of their deepest thoughts. And parents are very disturbed by this. And I'm always a bit surprised by that. Your goal is to raise your child to be successful in getting out there in the community. For Christian listeners, particularly, being out there in the church community, which includes things like consider others as better than yourself. So these are all about being part of a larger group. Well, I've known many parents whose kids are clearly succeeding in that, but they are sitting at home personally wishing that, yeah, but I don't know why he doesn't come and tell us everything. Well, that's a little disappointing, but it shouldn't be the top priority, especially with the parents that I've known, that they're really their teenager's best friend. Well, I don't know that you need to. It's good to be close, but your teenager should have a best friend that's not you. No offense to those that are tight, but because their peers are who they're going to be out and around with and hopefully marrying among and living their own lives. So I think it's both. There is this avalanche information, but to be blunt, I think everything for all of us has become more and more about how do I feel? Am I succeeding? Am I doing, you know, it becomes more and more tethered right around myself.
Well, this sort of plays out in all the activities that we have our kids in, you know, and then all the expectations we have about, you know, their grades and where they're going to go to college. And you have
right.
young kids that are, you know, just booked to the max with all of the sports. I mean, my kids have done this too. I'm guilty, guilty as charged. All the sports, all of the high pressure on, we're going to get these test scores so you can go to these colleges. And it ends up with a really messy mix. So what does this happen to our kids when we start putting this kind of pressure on
That's
them?
That's exactly right. And what's even harder is that if you're spending all of your time doing that, for many parents, then their social lives really are around the other parents that are doing the same thing. Well, that's not it. Think about it this way. It's good for your kids, especially for teenagers, to know that, hey, this weekend, your mom and I are going, we're going with our friends and we're going to go do this thing. So why don't you find something to do? Like, we have our own adult life that's not about being your parent. And by adolescence, they, especially because they're preparing for their own adulthood, they need to hear that. It is not something, you know, parents can feel guilty for if they have their two-year-old and they're leaving all the time to be with their friends. Sure, your two-year-old needs security, but not your 17-year-old. It is better for them that you have your own life separate from them or even their friends' parents. And so, you know, that's part of what's good for them as well.
Well, I think, too, it adds to the anxiety our kids feel when they feel this pressure to please mom and dad, or that mom and dad are disappointed because they didn't get on the top team, or
right.
mom and dad are disappointed because they don't have all A's, you know, that sort of thing. It just
right.
puts a lot of anxiety in our kids to perform, and it's for our benefit, they think.
That's
you
right.
Know?
That's so. Right. And they're not prepared then for living with their own standards. You know, I often talk to parents about the first thing you want to say when a teenager brings home a bad report card is this what you were aiming for? What do you think? I mean, are you okay with this? And it's surprising how often a teenager will look at you with, I don't know. Really? You don't know. Okay. You know, I'm not sure that you're thinking about your future here, but why don't you talk to me tomorrow? I'm just curious what you think about this, rather than parents immediately going to their own playbook to go, you know, if you don't get X grades, you won't get, they know all that. They're teenagers. They know that. But what are their goals for themselves separate from their parents?
I think that's an important line there. What are their goals separate from their parents? I think we need to be considering that as parents. Well, this has been a good conversation, Dr. Ken. Thank you for discussing this with us today. Thank you for listening today. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com. If you enjoy this podcast, would you mind leaving us a review? This is how others find our podcast.
This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.